On a leaping sea, the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a stain?
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday today. It is the 13th of September in the year 2005, and tonight it's just you and me. I so enjoyed the broadcast last night, being with Darren, our webmaster at sweetliberty.org. He is he's got his ducks in a row, as you notice, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you who are on the internet, I always assume that you stay tuned for Darren. He's on Monday night and Friday nights, and if you haven't been, you definitely will want to hear him. Our spiritual message tonight, I will take your calls tonight, by the way. I'm going to do this from last night. We did it last night. I'm going to do it again. John, chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And 18, there is no fear in love, but for perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That's all. I've got this Popular Mechanics article. I mentioned this last week with Alan, the Popular Mechanics article. I find it very interesting. I have this ready to send to Darren. It will be on our website, probably, definitely in the weather section. This was published September 11th. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't got that article. I've got something else here. I had a wrong paper in my hand. New Orleans is Sinking is the title of it. This is written by a Jim Wilson, published on September 11th, 2001, folks. You all remember that date, and I find it interesting that this article came out on that date, like they were predicting what they had in store, you think, maybe next, the next 911, the next tragedy to hit this nation that gives them more and more and more power, authority, has people crying out for the government to come and help. What is the government? Have you ever thought about that? My government loves me. I was talking to a gal at the Radio Shack. I might have said this on the air. And this is, I think, probably typical. Some couple was in getting a cell phone, whatever they do with cell phones. And when she was done with them, I asked her if she had read any of the reports about the dangers of cell phones and that it is probable that they're causing tumors in people's brains. And she looked at me and she says, "Oh, that's baloney. I don't believe that." And I said, "Well, the first report came from England, but I said they have mentioned it. It has been little news blips on mainstream news. It certainly isn't something they would want people to know, would it, folks? Because my goodness, they've got about 4 billion people that they would like to have gone from this planet." And so anyway, when I told her that they, you know, actually had mentioned it on network news, she just shook her head. She said, "There's no way." This is what she said. Our FCC, our Federal Communications Commission, our FCC would never let us use something that would be dangerous to us. Now, isn't that so sad? So sad. Anyway, this article. New Orleans is sinking. The surge of a Category 5 storm could put New Orleans under 18 feet of water. That's just about how much was there, isn't it, folks? In places, covering up houses or up to the rooftops. It says here, they don't bury the dead in New Orleans. The highest point in the city is only 6 feet above sea level, which makes for watery graves. Fearful that rotting corpses caused epidemics, the city limited ground burials in 1830. Mausoleums built on soggy cemetery grounds became the final resting place for generations. Besides providing a macabre tourist attraction, these, quote, cities of the dead serve as a reminder of the big and easy's vulnerability to flooding. The reason water rushes into graves is because New Orleans sits atop a delta made of unconsolidated material that has washed down the Mississippi River. Think of the city as a chin jutting out. Think of the city as a chin jutting out, waiting for a 1-2 punch from Mother Nature. The first blow comes from the sky. Hurricanes plying the Gulf of Mexico push massive domes of water, storm surges, ahead of their swirling winds. After the surges hit, the second blow strikes from below. The same swampy delta ground that necessitates above-ground burials leaves water from the storm surge with no place to go but up. The fact that New Orleans has not already sunk is a matter of luck. If slightly different paths had been followed by Hurricane Camille, which struck in August 69, Andrew in 1992, or George in September 98, today we might need scuba gear to tour the French Quarter. French Quarter was left high and dry. And according to the whatever newspaper talking about their Southern Decadence Parade, the homosexuals do, they said that the 12 that were in the parade were from the French Quarter, which it said is a highly inhabited by gays. Mainly gay, whatever, homosexual. They call it gay. I can't use that word. There's nothing gay about being homosexual. Maybe we should call it like it is, huh? And not use the words they give us. Gay used to mean happy, didn't it, folks? So anyway, it says, today we might need scuba gear to tour the French Quarter. We're back to this Popular Mechanics article. And this is a quote. In New Orleans, you never get above sea level, so you're always going to be isolated during a strong hurricane, says Kay Wilkins of the Southeast Louisiana chapter of the American Red Cross. During a strong hurricane, the city could be inundated. Listen to this. The city could be inundated with water blocking all streets in and out for days, leaving people stranded without electricity and access to clean drinking water. Many also could die because the city has few buildings that could withstand the sustained 96 to 100 mile per hour winds and 6 to 8 foot storm surges of a Category 2 hurricane. Moving to higher elevations would be just as dangerous as staying on low ground. Had Camille, a Category 5 storm, made landfall at New Orleans, instead of losing her punch before arriving, her winds would have blown twice as hard and her storm surge would have been three times as high. One of the articles I read said that it had been reduced to a Category 3 by the time it hit New Orleans, folks, and that would mean that the winds were under 100 miles an hour. Those are high winds, but those types of winds have hit the area before. Darren last night said that he had heard or read that it was Category 4, so we'll say it was somewhere in between there. But no, understandably and knowingly, we know that Katrina had lost its punch by the time it reached New Orleans. And then it goes on. It says, yet knowing all this, area residents have made their potential problem worse. This is another quote by Sandy Ward Esslinger of the National Oceanographic, NOAA, in center in Charleston, South Carolina. This quote from NOAA says, over the past 30 years, the coastal region impacted by Camille has changed dramatically. Coastal erosion combined with soaring commercial and residential development in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama have all combined to significantly increase the vulnerability of the area. Soaring commercial and residential development. Now, coastal erosion, I can see that would increase vulnerability. I'm not sure that I get it here. Combined, it says, with soaring commercial and residential development in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama have all combined to significantly increase the vulnerability of the area. Early warning, emergency planners believe that it is a foregone conclusion that the Big Easy someday will be hit. Someday. Remember, this was published 9/11/2001. Emergency planners, they plan, don't they, folks? That's what planners do, they plan. And I am absolutely without any doubt, and I think that any of you listening are without any doubt, that Katrina was planned. And since she lost her punch, what did they do? Well, they had to get that water in there somehow, didn't they? Emergency planners believe that it is a foregone conclusion that the Big Easy someday will be hit by a scouring storm surge. And given the tremendous amount of coastal area development, this watery big one will produce a staggering amount of damage. Yet this doesn't necessarily mean there will be a massive loss of lives. The key is a new emergency warning system developed by Gregory Stone, professor of Louisiana State. It is called WAVCIS, which stands for Wave Current Surge Information System, WAFCIS. Or WAFSIS, within 30 minutes to an hour after the raw data is collected from monitoring stations in the Gulf, an assessment of storm surge damage would be available to emergency planners. Disaster relief agencies then would be able to mobilize resources, rescue personnel, the Red Cross, and so forth. The $4.5 million WAFSIS project, which is now coming online, this was back in 2001, folks, this wonderful emergency project will fill a major void in the Louisiana storm warning system, which is practically non-existent compared to those of other Gulf states. A system of 12 weather buoys along the U.S. coastline serves as a warning system for the Gulf of Mexico. However, the buoys are not distributed evenly, and Louisiana falls into one of the gaps. From the mouth of the Mississippi River to the Louisiana-Texas border, there are no buoys. Only one buoy serves Louisiana. It's 62 miles east of the Mississippi and more than 300 miles to the south. So it's a bit like predicting the weather in Boston when your thermometer is in Philadelphia. One reason that WAFSIS will be more accurate is that its sensors are attached to offshore oil platforms. The older floating buoys ride up and down with the waves and often can't give accurate pictures and wave heights and storm surges. Stable platforms mean that the sensors can be placed above and below the water, along with more precise measurements, data from each of the 13 stations, five of which are now online, is transmitted to Louisiana State University, where it'll be interpreted and sent to emergency planning centers via the Internet. This is almost done. With this new system, we get to see real information on storm surge, and we can feed that into our models and come up with real data, says Mike Brown, Assistant Director of the New Orleans Emergency Management Office. Well, I guess this he was director during this time. Because large areas would have to be evacuated, false alarms could be harmful to the economy. Stone sees it as a responsible trade-off. It's better to have that frustration than the loss of life. The potential loss of life in Louisiana could be catastrophic because there's just nowhere to go. So it was predicted, and yet this article tells about this wonderful warning system, $4.5 million warning system that was going to alert people. This is a thing by Jim McCanny. It's not long. What you need to know about the New Orleans levees. This was written September 5th. Finally, the chief says, this is Jim McCanny. The public is waking up to who FEMA and their straw boss, Homeland Security, really are. Their role was not to save New Orleans or the Gulf Coast residents. Their task was to depopulate the area, along with ethnic cleansing, the same issue that occurred in Florida last year. And I think this was just the first of numerous upcoming attacks on U.S. cities, orchestrated and carried out by the IMF CIA crew. These are your real terrorists. There is no doubt in my mind that the New Orleans levees were blasted out when it was clear that New Orleans had survived Katrina, which was a completely manipulated storm. I reported this as soon as the news came out that the levees went on Tuesday morning. There are now reports of people witnessing the levee explosions. FEMA and their thugs had all Monday night to prepare and plan for flooding from all sides. FEMA certainly was not there to help the people, as I said before. There was no way all these levees blew out at all the same time, completely inundating the city from all sides. Reminiscent of the demolition of the Twin Towers at 9/11, the Bushes, Clintons, IMF, and the world's big shots, along with their merry band of mafia scum, all have to go. Get a clue, America. And then he went on to talk about taking back America, and I just snipped that part out, folks. I don't know what taking back America means, because America has never been ours the way I see it. And I know that's a terrible thing to think about, especially when we've been born and raised, and it's in ourselves that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's the greatest country in the whole world. And we're free because we have a constitution. Yes? And then when you get looking at the past, real history, and you will see it if you haven't been in the book that is still in process, but there's 22 chapters up, Jewish Persecution, at sweetliberty.org. It's on the main page. And you will see. And resources are listed. where the information, from where the information came, that there's nothing to take back. And then if, you know, the first thought out of somebody's, in somebody's mind probably, well then, what do we do? Well, I don't have answers to, quote, what do we do? But I have thoughts, and it occurs to me that, as we talked about last night with Darren, and he and I continued it into the internet portion, into Darren's broadcast, it comes down to the individual. Alan said this years ago. It took me a long time to get it. And I see nothing else. The kingdom of God is within us. We are the light of the world. And so each of us, it's what we do, how we live, how we be, how we treat those in our lives, strangers, compassion that we have for somebody we don't know. Maybe that's what it's all about. And who's to say the miracles that can happen if enough of us begin to be that way? And of course, to share the information with anybody who will listen so that they are aware of it, because the truth is light, isn't it? To me it is. I'm not saying that's a fact. That's how I see it. And when we're living in the darkness of the lies and the truth is revealed, it's, to me, in my mind, it's like a light shining there. And the more and more and more and more people who know, the more people will know. And maybe there'll be a transformation. And for those of you who are in the cities, I know we touched on this last night, I've been concerned. Well, concerned for all of us, but concerned about your emotional, I guess I would say. How it, because if we start living in fear, folks, I believe that it can just help to hasten up the process, the fear, the negative energy. And fear and worry, if you've never noticed, it really doesn't change anything. Worry does not change anything. And I got to thinking about that. If and we don't know where the next, quote, catastrophe is going to come from, or when it's going to come. We've been promised, haven't we? Rumsfeld and what's his name? The former. His name's escaping me. All of them. All of the creatures that are in charge there of the U.S. government in those appointed offices. They've promised over and over that there is going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible thing happen. We don't know when. We don't know where or how. But we know it's going to happen. Today, in New Orleans area, and I haven't been watching the news, I don't know if anything has changed, but in the past few days, they've been going house to house, they've been taking people's guns. Martial law has been called. It's a test to see how people handle it and to see how people outside of it, looking in, handle it. They're always testing the waters. And the best we can do, as far as I can see, is do the best we can do. If you cannot be in the city, you should not be in the city. And if you choose to be in the city, then you're not getting it. And it's as simple as that. But if you're in the city and you don't have the means to leave the city, well, then just know that to be prepared as possible. And that means, you know, extra food if you can. Dried rice and beans and corn and all of the things that you have room to store. And water. Do the best you can do. And don't, and then live the best that you can. I don't mean let's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you may die. I don't mean that. I don't mean not to have fun either. What I mean is the way we be as people, as children of God. And the worry changes nothing. And look at the fear that was caused before Y2K. And nothing did happen, did it? And they like us, they want us living in that state of fear. And we don't have to become morbid, folks. We can be that light, as Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Anyway, there's another note down here from Jim McCanny. He said that the floodwaters were not a result of Hurricane Katrina. It only dropped 7 inches of rain on New Orleans with less than 100 mile per hour winds. Now, I don't have anything to confirm that, but I don't think that Jim would write this, Jim McCanny, if he didn't have his ducks in a row there. He said there was no storm surge in Lake Pontchartrain. The storm came in from the southwest, and the surge hit further east. The levees blew on the canal and riversides, also where there was no surge of any kind. The water was the result of FEMA blowing the levees in 7 places systematically placed around the city. Bush, on Saturday night before the storm arrived, had already signed an executive order giving FEMA overall authority over New Orleans. Its task, to clear the city to make way for the New World Order's new mega resort port. I'm going to read this last paragraph, or part of it, before the break. We're about to take a break here. It's September 10th. He said, want to know what's wrong with the good old USA? It's pretty simple. Ain't any longer the good old USA. Today I did something I rarely have time for. I read and responded to about 150 emails from sincere fans with a wide spectrum of comments. My first comment to anyone that thinks they know something or have advice is, have you ever lived in a poverty section of a third world country for 6 months? And lived with the people there and interacted with them on a daily basis on their level? If the answer is no, then please do not even comment or say anything. You've not done your homework in class Life in the Rural World 101. He says, secondly, if you wonder what politics has to do with science or science to do with politics, you need to listen to my radio shows for the past 2 years, all archived on my homepage, and read my books. This I would call the second class of required consumption. Reality Flashes 102. Listen to this. If you think we live in a democracy or even a republic, please go out back and beat yourself severely with a large stick until you pound some sense into yourself. If you think what you're hearing on the evening news and read in the paper is reality, then please stay in your fantasy land of the happy news. If you are one of the 5% of the population that has come to the conclusion something is terrible wrong in the most powerful nation on earth, we have to take a break here, folks. And we'll be back after this, and I'll open the phone lines for your calls.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay, we're back with you folks. I'll just finish this up, Jim McKinney piece. He said that Boy, it's amazing how I can get my papers. Anyway, what he said is that not to go to try to convince family or friends about what you understand and know. Chances are they'll look at you like you're in need of a new job. If you're a yuppie and everything is going great, and you think it's going great for everyone else too, then please do not let anything I say shatter your little fantasy world. If you're a businessman investing in oil futures or the military-industrial complex, may God have mercy on your greedy, pathetic soul. If you cannot see yourself as others see you from foreign countries, then you are truly a citizen of the good old USA. That was Jim McKinney. And if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 570-537-3025. I had made the statement that I had heard this, read it, and I've got it here. It's a very short article from the Herald Sun. Breaking news. This was the 5th maybe. Five dead were Army workers. Associated Press reports that at least five people shot dead by police as they walked across the New Orleans bridge yesterday were contractors working for the U.S. Defense Department. A spokesman for the Army Corps of Engineers said the victims were contractors on their way to repair the canal. The contractors were on their way across the bridge to launch barges into Lake Pontchartrain for the operation to fix the 17th Street Canal, according to the spokesman. The shootings took place on the Danziger Bridge across the canal connecting Lake Pontchartrain to the Mississippi River. Early on Sunday, Deputy Police W.J. Riley of New Orleans said police shot eight people, killing five or six. No other details were immediately available. Well, let me tell you, folks, I had CNN on when they reported that, and they said that they were shooting at snipers, and they shot and killed these snipers from a bridge, just to give you an idea of how drastically their lies are. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Jackie, it's your old friend Tim here in New York.
Hey, Tim.
I actually finally got to listen tonight.
Well, good. I'm so glad. How are you, dear?
Not too bad. You had me giggling when you were talking about the folks you ran into at Radio Shack with a cell phone.
Yeah.
Being in the broadcast industry myself, I can tell you the FCC does protect folks in my industry. You know, they limit you to what they call it, non-ionizing radiation. How much you can get of that if you're a broadcast engineer.
I don't know. What is non-ionizing radiation, Tim?
Well, it's the actual signal, the radio signal that's being emanated from, you know, whether it's the antenna to our radio station or the antenna from the cell phone right next to your head.
Yeah.
That's the actual signal that's going through the air, non-ionizing radiation. And the FCC will tell you it does cause cancer. Check with OSHA. I mean, they have major restrictions on how much time people in the broadcast repair industry can work near that.
And yet the people who own the cell phones haven't a clue, Jim.
Well, they don't, because if you say, well, there's a big difference between a 50,000-watt radio station and a cell phone, well, in some ways, yes, but in other ways, no. The amount of radiation that's next to your head, when you have that cell phone next to your head or, well, next to whatever, if you've got it down lower on your body, and that's transmitting all the time, it's not just when you're talking on the phone, it's put near the same level as if you were really close to the antenna of a 50,000-watt radio station. So anybody that thinks that a cell phone isn't going to make them sick and that the government, they got to, that's something you can find on OSHA. That's really easy to find.
Really?
Non-ionizing radiation.
I should write that down. Hey, Tim.
Yes, ma'am?
Could you email me that?
Sure.
Would you do that, honey?
I'll find a link and I'll email it.
Thank you very much. So tell our listeners who live in the Elmira or Corning area how they can hear you.
Oh, a little shameless promotion, huh?
What?
A little shameless promotion, that's what I call it.
A shameless promotion. Well, just tell them.
Well, in this immediate area, I'm on the radio in the morning on 105.3 FM. Known as your twisted Uncle Justin. 6 to 10. Turn on the radio and call me and let me know that you're also a Jackie fan.
Well, that would be cool. Sweet Liberty.
You know, you are known around here. I did a remote broadcast on Sunday, which was in memory of 9/11. It was an ATV ride. And I'm telling you, Jackie, I don't walk around and go, oh, the world is coming to an end and everybody's dirty. You've heard my show. You know I just...
Yeah.
I just acknowledge it without preaching.
Well, you either that or you're not going to be on the air. But you get your little points in.
I'll tell you, I was with people that describe themselves as self-described dumb farmers from Jasper, New York, which is a little, very small community just to the south of where I live.
Okay.
But those self-described dumb farmers just kept whacking me in the fanny all weekend long, going, you know, I know what you're talking about. I understand. You know, we saw what really happened on the TV. People really seem to know. I'm just kind of really, I'm curious to see how they're going to take the information and deal with the anger that they have over the response, FEMA's non-response to this emergency, quote emergency.
Well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course, you know, the people are being so confused. I mean, even the emails that I get, Tim, oh, my God, they go from, you know, Bush to the Homeland Security to FEMA to the Army Corps of Engineers to the local and state officials, and it just goes round and round and round. And so, therefore, the people, I believe, and Alan said this, they get caught up in the confusion of it all, and it just goes right by them. I would love to have proof, absolute proof, because, I mean, for my own self, I don't need proof that those levees were blown. And it was that instinctive, intuitive, when they said that the levees were blown, I said, you know, the levees were breached or whatever, I knew that they were blown. And it was like on September 11th, 2001, when I flipped on, you know, when Lily called and said, turn on CNN, a plane crashed. Well, by the time I got it on, they were showing the second plane over and over and over. And my first absolute out of my mouth to Chuck and Jeff, who was here at the time. I said, they're going to... But first I said, oh, my God, they've done it. And I said, you know what they're going to do? They're going to blame this on Arab terrorists and to create a lot of hatred against the Arabs. And they're going to use this as the jumping-off point for World War III.
They tried it, but it didn't really happen, though. I don't know whether it's because we're too lazy to take action, whether it's for the right side or the wrong side.
What do you mean? What didn't happen, Jim?
There wasn't a big, huge, major uprising of people going out and killing Islamic folks.
Oh, No. But don't you know now they call them ragheads?
Oh, towelheads, ragheads.
Ragheads. You know, it's always slurs.
And that's my favorite.
The what?
Sheetheads.
Sheetheads, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's kind of how we deal with it. But there wasn't a big uprising. I don't know. Not everybody went running and screaming and demanding that we go to war with, you know, these countries.
Uh-huh.
I think we all knew it was going to come. I think people knew that we were going to invade Iraq when George Bush got elected the first time. But I don't know. I guess we just don't react. We don't react the way they want us to, and I don't think that we react the way God would want us to. You know, I think we just look at it and go, no. Or maybe we just kind of know, but we don't really respond. You know?
Well, I hear you, but I'm not... In other words, does it... When you say you know it, but you just go, that's a lie, but it doesn't really grab you, the whole full intent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we just kind of go on knowing, okay, you know, a lot of bad things are going on and a lot of bad people are in charge now. I'm just going to be mindful of that and just go on my way. Which maybe isn't a bad thing, Jackie, because I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if the government wants people to start an uprising.
I think
they would have been in their glory had people gone down south, good people gone down south, and instead of helping the folks that needed the help, you know, kind of get in people's faces and get violent. I think that's what they wanted.
Oh, I agree with that.
Then they have an excuse for martial law, or they have an excuse to use more of the Patriot Act. Well, look at what happened here. We can't have this. Not in our country. But instead, people, especially the good Christian folks, are just gently nudging the FEMA workers out of the way, kind of, you know, giving them a wink and a nod, saying, I'm coming through with my truck and I'm going to deliver this aid to the people that need it. They're not really they're confronting them, but not violently, and I think it's pretty cool.
I don't think that was the case for the most part. I think that people are so used to, you know, the laws, the rules, the authority of the federal government, unless that all of what we read was, you know, made up to enrage the people. But, you know, they were interviewing a woman there, a very articulate woman, and she said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. They brought these buses to evacuate people, and they turned the buses away. And according to that Broussard, although we don't know if what he said was true, you know, that president of the Jefferson Parish, but that they turned away truckloads, huge truckloads of water being delivered from Walmart. Now, what I've read, Tim, there's not real confirmation here, and I would really like to get it, but that one of the reasons they were standing down, doing nothing, I mean, I was watching CNN, and they talked to a FEMA gal in Baton Rouge there. She said there were 20,000 National Guard there, and there were NYPD, and there were firefighters from around the country, and they weren't doing anything. They had these trucks filled with food and water, but they hadn't been given their orders. And what I have read, and don't know if it's true, but it certainly makes sense, is that the governor was not declaring an emergency and giving FEMA authority, total authority, to come in and do what they've done now, call martial law, curfews. I mean, I can see curfews in certain areas if they did curfews, but taking the guns away from law-abiding citizens?
knew that was going to happen when they first started talking about the helicopters getting shot at. And, you know, Jackie, I've done EMS for...
That was a hoax, too, you know.
I've done EMS for 20 years, and I'll tell you, one of the first rules that I have is if it's not going to be safe for me to go in, guess what? I'm coming home tonight. I feel really bad for you, and I will put my life on the line for some people. You know, if I instinctively know that I'm going to be able to make a big difference, I'm not just going to go running into gunfire blindly and try and save the world. That's dumb. So I can understand why the regular folks, the common police, the regular firefighters, I can understand why they stood back, but they showed a map, even on network TV, where this violence supposedly happened.
Yeah.
It was such a small part of New Orleans. A very, very small part of that one city that was affected. We keep talking about New Orleans. So many small towns and smaller cities were wiped out and had no sniper fire. They were still denied help.
Right.
Until the good Christian folks rolled up, and some people from other religions who said, you know what, they would show up with tractor trailers. FEMA would try to commandeer them. Say, oh, no, you have to take it to this place to be, you know. But once the religious folks, the people, the true believers, or whatever their religion are, showed up and said, no, we're driving by, you know, kind of like Smokey and the Bandit, eastbound and down. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where they were smuggling the beer? Well, instead of smuggling beer, they were smuggling water and blankets and diapers and food. And I mean, I'm part of a network. It just kind of happened because of my affiliation with a radio station and a huge collection that we did with our local VFW of people that really are making a difference. They're not on the news. You don't see, people giving the one-finger salute to some military guy along the road and just rolling down the road, but it's happening. And it's happening in a big way.
Good.
I really can't get over the fact, Jackie, that so many people have walked away from the Red Cross.
Well, you understand why, though, right?
Yeah.
You've got the information on the Red Cross.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen enough with my own eyes. You know, a lot of what I hear on your show, I take under advisement, and I think, and I look. And I got to tell you, I'm encouraged that so many people have walked away from the government, thinking, I need the government to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they now know that if you can't take care of yourself, you can't trust the government to take care of
you. That's right.
You can't trust these big organizations that have big, rich, fancy people driving big fancy cars you can't trust them to deliver the aid that they say that they're going to deliver. Their first priority is to their big shiny cars and to the people that put them in those positions. This is the first emergency I've seen, Jackie, and you know, in my position and probably in yours too, people see broadcasters, that you'll be like the first phone call that people make when they see something like that. How can I help? What can I do? This is the first emergency where I've been inundated from people that are saying, how can I help without giving to this agency or without giving to that agency?
Oh, isn't that wonderful? In other words, they know not to give to the Red Cross.
It's so encouraging. So when you say, and some of the other broadcasters I like to listen to on the shortwave say, you've got to have hope and you've got to go on and live your life, and who you be or how you be, you're so right. I'm so encouraged. I don't go to bed at night thinking, oh, my gosh, what is this world coming to? I feel so bad about the devastation, and I believe the levees were blown. We all watched the news. We saw how happy everybody was skipping through New Orleans. Look at how unscathed this was. I mean, this New World Order isn't all as bright as they think they are.
They're not. Well,
they're too cocky for their own good.
Haste does make waste. Hey, but, you know, they're doing it. That's the point. Even though all the time we talk about it, we're doing it. And when I mentioned this to Alan, and I know he hit it right on the head, just like the doggone gas prices. Okay. Car insurance has gone up. In fact, one friend said that they got their monthly or whatever quarterly, and it went up 30%. And they're saying that, oh, your car insurance is going up, because of the money that's going out for, you know, the Katrina disaster. It's all, but the thing is, they're doing it. Now, in this state, there is a law that you have to carry insurance, and if you don't, boy, you are going to lose your license and all kinds of fines and et cetera. And it's getting to the point, people can't afford the car insurance. People can't afford to heat their homes. There's an article that said in the Midwest, they expect heating costs this winter to go up 71%. You're almost doubling it. And they said in the Northeast that it will be electricity and oil, and I'm taking that to mean heating oil.
Yep.
So it keeps happening. They keep doing it. And this is what I said to Alan. You know, we complain to each other, but what's happening, he says, well, in this system, there's no complaint department. And boy, that's the truth, Jim.
Amen. But I got to tell you, again, on a real positive note, as we were watching the gas prices here in the southern tier of New York go up, I mean, I was so sure, you know, that this was going to be, and being a morning show host, I mean, that's our job. We do parody songs and we make jokes about foreigners. That's what we do here in America. You know, the towelhead Arabs, blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you, going to the gas stations and watching as the prices were going up and listen to the people grumble, you know, all I would ever say is, well, that's your government at work. You know, and people get it. They didn't get it in the 70s, Jackie,
uh-huh.
because they're getting it now.
Uh-huh.
Darn right, it's the rich getting richer. I say, don't blame the towelheads. You know, if you're going to call, I hate that word, but, don't blame the towelheads. You know, they're not directly to blame. The price of oil that they sell to us from Saudi Arabia, if you consider the economy, hasn't really changed in 30, 40 years. We buy it. The importers buy it.
Well,
and sell it to the refiners.
But
the price per barrel goes up.
Okay, I want to do this because I've got a few articles in my head that are scattered. I read an article from the Toronto Star, and it said something about 30 or 40% of our oil comes from Canada. A huge percentage of it comes from Mexico. 17 or 20-some percent comes from the Mideast. Now, there's the oil from the Alaskan pipeline that's heading right over to Japan. The people in Canada are paying $5 or better now for a gallon, what would be equivalent to our gallon, of gas, and 40% of the oil that we're using is coming from Canada. So we don't get much of our oil from the Louisiana, those in that area, the same thing in California. They send it all over the place, Tim.
Oh, yeah, it's a great scam.
Yeah, and I also, I don't know who was written this, but said that, you know, the oil companies make long-term contracts. So, for example, if they make a contract that they're going to be buying oil, let's say, from the Middle Eastern Arab countries, OPEC, for, let's say, $25 a barrel, they get that price locked in for 10 years. And so they're buying it. In fact, I've got an article here that one of the CEOs of, oh, geez, I can't remember the oil company, he's about to retire, and the biggest problem is, what do they do with the 60-some billion dollars that they have windfall from the high price of oil? They're not paying a higher price. We are. It's all a scam. It's all all of it. And for example, when you mentioned the sniper, you know, the helicopter sniper, don't you know that that would have been a CIA plant or somebody? There was nobody sniping at that damn helicopter, excuse my language.
I got to tell you, though, I am trained, and thank goodness I've only had to use it once. I've been trained in mass casualty incidents. I did EMS for a lot of years. We used to have a big air show in the territory that my fire department covered. So I've got a lot of training in that, and I have seen, I fully believe that the sniper thing, with all those people there, I can't believe that one person wasn't mad enough to just start shooting.
Mad enough. Wait a minute. Think about this, Tim. What was he mad at? These helicopters were lifting people out of the charity hospital who needed emergency care. Now, what do you mean they wouldn't be mad enough they could be mad enough to snipe at it? No, it was just a ruse so that more...
You got it. I can't say that all of those shots came from legitimate New Orleans people, whether they were criminals or...
How do we know there were any shots?
I'm more inclined to believe.
Did you hear any shots on the news? I didn't hear any on CNN.
On MSNBC. I watch MSNBC.
Okay.
If I've got to watch...
And you actually heard shots?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, just know it was a setup.
Oh, and it would not surprise me if there wasn't only one person that did it and they put more people in there to make it look worse than it was. But I also understand it's like a drowning person, Jackie. When you're drowning, you don't think, okay, that person that's coming to save me is a nice person who's putting themselves on the line, so I'm going to do what I can. These are panicked people who are going to push you under the water.
No, I don't buy it, Tim.
Being the nice person.
No,
really
look, I heard them announce when it happened that these snipers on that bridge got shot and killed.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the AP article that five of them that were killed were engineers. There was no sniper on that bridge. The police shot and killed five engineers working for the Army Corps of Engineers. They're walking across the bridge to start repairing the breach of the levee.
I honestly feel in my soul that there was probably one or two real shooters, and I think that there was more placed in there to make the uproar worse. I really believe that.
Okay.
So, I mean, who knows? I mean, we weren't there. I just think that the people that were there not only felt abandoned right away, I mean, they saw that there was no, that the buses weren't coming before the hurricane hit, and they saw that there was no help after it hit.
And they were so used, the people that were there, and I understand they were poverty-stricken people. They were totally dependent on the government, and they didn't even try to save themselves. They sat right there and waited and waited and waited and died.
And I think that is why the levees went. If the levees were really blown up, I think that's why it was done. Because there would have been...
You're probably right.
It would have been a whole different situation than the people that want the control would
right.
have been in control. At that
we just got our 1 minute... yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks for your call.
Hey, it's been fun.
And the shortwave has been coming in pretty good, yes?
Pretty good, yes, and I'm waiting for some more parts to come in before I come down.
Great. And you're going to check me all out.
Give you a checkup.
Thanks, Tim.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. God bless you, folks. Good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Gold and silver.